Howdy, folks. Today, I have taken the title of our lesson out of Proverbs chapter 5, which we will get to here in just a few moments. The title of our lesson is, Nor Incline My Ear to Them That Instructed Me. So I want to tell you a little bit about what brings about this lesson, the thought process, at least, from which this lesson is driven. Evangelists, which I am, have the task, obviously, of teaching, of trying to help those who are lost to be saved through Christ Jesus our Lord, and helping to teach, instruct, edify, build up, and preserve the faithful. Well, that's a challenge. Number one, to those who are outside of Christ, and maybe you're one of those individuals, we live in a world where there's so many challenges that stand between the sinner and Jesus Christ that are very difficult to overcome. And as an evangelist, I work diligently to be aware of those challenges and capable of teaching people through them. That is, people that would even be willing to listen to begin with. But this lesson is geared towards those who have obeyed the gospel, those who are God's children in the faith of Jesus Christ, and the challenges that they face that could drive them away. So I hope this lesson will work towards you in some way, in a helpful way, help you to understand how you could please God, or if you are in Christ, how you can, at least in some of the things we're going to talk about today, not walk away. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his physical life on this earth, wrote an epistle, a letter, to Timothy the evangelist. And of course, I study 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus because those are my instruction manuals for how I'm to work for my Lord in the work that I do. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in that letter, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now here is the point of emphasis that applies to our lesson. Verse 3 says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Obviously, that's written to things that Timothy was going to experience in his life, but they are most certainly things that I've experienced on an innumerable amount of times in my work for the Lord. That is, that there are those who will not endure sound doctrine. They just won't put up with the truth. They have their own desires, and they throw themselves towards those that would teach them in a manner that would help them fulfill those desires. And then the verse 4 point, they turn away their ears from the truth. That meaning at one point in time, their ears were towards the truth, but then they turned the other direction and turned unto fables. And what that means is just fiction. People who just turn towards an invented falsehood in some degree. Well, Christians are told, for example, the book of Jude is a whole one chapter long, and the emphasis of this letter is that there were those that were creeping in unaware, Jude verse 4, and trying to really just draw people away from the Lord. In that letter, in verse 21 of the book of Jude, Christians are told, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So the work of an evangelist is to be aware that there are those that won't endure the sound doctrine. They will turn away to other things. They will give their ear from the truth to those that would teach them other things. It is a fact, no matter who the teacher is, and you will see how this lesson will come to the point of our lesson as we get into Proverbs chapter 5. But there are those, regardless of who the teacher is, they're going to walk away. And that's a hard reality. I know I have fought for many years to try to prevent people from falling away from the Lord, from walking away from the truth of the gospel and the hope of eternal life. But even Jesus, if you look at John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, doth this offend you? What nephew shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man come unto me, except it were given him my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And there are various things that cause this. There in John 6 is because Jesus gave them some teaching, a harsh teaching that they didn't want to receive. Others, like in 2 Timothy 4, we would have kept reading, we left off in verse 5. But if we went down to verse 10, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Point being, Demas loved the world. Well, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you walk away from the world. You walk away from the God of this world that blinds the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. You make a choice, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to love the world because loving the world is wrong, 1 John 2:15, in the sense of worldliness. Some just love the world. They don't want Jesus anymore. They don't want the way, the truth, and the life. They want the world. Others can get drawn away by various factors in life. See, there's not one thing that can take away people, and it's different. What's tempting to one person may not be to another. Of course, that's the difficulty of teaching like a podcast. When I teach this podcast, I don't know who's listening. I get some statistics of where downloads come from, but I don't know who you are out there, so I don't know how to tailor these lessons best towards you. That's why individual Bible study is always going to be better when there's a need. But back to my point, some people are drawn away of various different things. Some people just get worn down by factors of this world. In the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, using Mark's account, because you could look at Matthew 13 or here in Mark 4, or you could look at Luke 8. In Mark's account, Mark 4, 14 through 19, says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away that word which is sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for this word's sake, immediately they're offended. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So you see, the word of God is sown, and you know, if you look at Luke's account, and you put some of the language together to understand it, because you know, take all three. You have the wording like in Luke 8:13, where these on the rock are they which hear, receive the word with joy, have no root, which for a while believe. So these are believers. And in time of temptation, fall away. The wording is important. And taking all three accounts, which we're not going to do because that's not the point of this lesson, but taking all three accounts, people who believe, people who are happy, who love the truth, but then something draws away, the cares of the world, persecution, whatever it is, draws them away. Sometimes it's other people in different ways that draw people away. In the first letter to Timothy, the inspired apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. of whom it is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So here is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have drawn people away. And it's not just through false doctrine. Sinners in other ways corrupt. You know, the children of Israel, if you go back and you look at the institution of law of Moses, one of the things they were supposed to do when they went into the land that God had promised their fathers is they were to destroy everybody in the land, Deuteronomy chapter 7, for example. But in Psalm 106, 34 and 35, the record says this: they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. See, God knew what was going to happen. So God said, go in and get rid of them, but they didn't. And they followed the falsehoods that those people had believed. And this isn't just, again, it's not just idolatry. It's not just adultery, etc. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and the furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. When we're around people, they're going to rub off on us. And you might not like this, but it is just a biblical fact. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You might be out there thinking, yeah, but the Bible says that I'm supposed to be a light unto the world. Yeah. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, you're the salt of the earth. If a salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give light to all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes, that's biblical truth. Let your light shine. But if you go out in the dark and you're there, the dark's going to rub off on you. The light doesn't overtake the dark. In the Bible, we see from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, darkness wins when it comes to influence. You might not like that fact, but it is an undeniable truth. And again, it is why 1 Corinthians 15:33 is worded the way that it is. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It is not. Evil communications will be overcome by good. Evil communications will overcome the good, okay? Thus, those who are in Christ are warned not to be led away with the error of the wicked. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So this lesson that we're going to talk about today, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and you'll see the title of the lesson as we get down to Proverbs 5:13, but I want you to take into account the context, and we're going to kind of use that as a teaching tool, understanding everything we've already talked about. It's not one thing that draws away. Sometimes people look at scriptures like we're going to talk about, and Proverbs 5 is talking about a strange woman and what she could do. And maybe those ladies out there say, well, that applies to men. No, it doesn't just apply to men. It's the wording of that particular context. You don't think that a man can do to you ladies out there what ladies can do to men? Of course. Why? Because we just read, not to be deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So, and on top of that, maybe you're sitting there saying, I'm a married person. I'm not going to let, a man or a woman take me away. I'm committed to my spouse or whatever. Don't just apply the specific of the context. Think about the principles, how that when we go through this context and we look at it, how that once you're enticed by whoever or whatever, so maybe you're that person that says, I'm not influenced by people. Well, number one, you're denying the truth if you say that. You are influenced by people as much as you might not like to admit that. That's Bible truth. To deny that is to tell God, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. You go ahead and try that one in the judgment day and see how that works. But even for that arrogant, proud person, and if you're that person, you're already going to hell. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Even to you, whatever it is or whoever it is that may influence you for wrong, you're going to hate instruction. You're going to despise correction. You're not going to obey the voice of those that are trying to teach you, whether that be elders in the local church, whether that be someone like me as an evangelist, whether that be an older brother or sister in Christ that may be trying to guide you through godly wisdom in the scriptures. You're not going to listen. You're not going to incline your ear to those that would instruct you. Why? Because sin is going to prevent you from wanting to listen. And this is a biblical fact from Genesis through Revelation. We're just going to use this context as kind of our sermon outline. So without further delay, Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 14 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst know them." I just want to stop here. Sometimes we can lose a point, and I'm not going to emphasize this too much going forward, so I don't want you to miss that point. I want to read to you again verse 6. "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life, her ways are movable that thou canst know them." The point being, this woman that's being used to illustrate the point of this context, her ways, they change. So you're not going to be able to identify and say, this is the tactic by which somebody is going to come at me. They're going to change tactics so that you're not going to foresee it coming. That's why you got to walk according to the ways of the Lord. But we'll get into this more as we go forward. Just understand that you're not going to be able to create a checkoff list. These are the things that I need to be aware of. If it's a person of the world, you need to be aware of it. If it's somebody that's teaching something contrary to the doctrine of Christ, even within the body of Christ, you need to be aware of it. You may not be able to identify the tactics. You may not be able to hear buzzwords. You may not be able to say, this is what I'm to look out for. Because those that are sinners trying to pervert the way of the just, the point of Proverbs 6:6, they change their approach. If you think about it, it's the way of truth doesn't change. When we preach the gospel today, those of us who are faithful to the word of God, it's preached the same way it was in the first century. But when false teachers teach, they adjust. They say, okay, let's try this tactic. Let's try that tactic. Let's go after it with this method. And that is the warning of Proverbs 6:6. When people of the world want to entice you and you say, no, 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 no. Maybe this, like I've warned my youngest son about this before. You're going out with coworkers and they're going to a place, a restaurant, and there just may happen to be at that restaurant the serving of alcohol, and you've denied alcohol. You've said, no, I'm not going to drink. They're well aware of that. So they don't even try anymore to say, hey, why don't you try this? It's a very good tasting drink. Or, you know, you'll get your buzz and you'll feel real good. Whatever it is they may have tried in the past, now they just walk over to the bar and they order themselves a mixed drink. Maybe it's a rum and Coke, and maybe you're drinking Coke. And they come back and they say, here, man, I got your refill on your Coke. You're not even aware there's alcohol in there. They change their tactic. And then you drink it, and then they come back and say, hey, man, you know, Your drink is gone. Maybe you say something like, yeah, wow, I'm getting tired. I feel a little weird. Oh, yeah, man. Well, here's your caffeine. Here it is. Number two. And then they smile. They got you drinking. And then they tell you or they don't tell you, but they got you drinking. Where'd you fail? You failed in trusting somebody of the world. So let's come back Proverbs 5 to verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years under the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation of the assembly. So let's think about it. Number one, starting with the strange woman that has her way with those words. Backing up in Book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. And, you know, just understanding that the chapter starts off similar as Proverbs 5. My son, if thou will receive my words. So it's in that context. Verses 16 through 19 of Proverbs 2 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. A strange woman has a way with words. She's convincing. She flattereth with her words. And it's not just a strange woman. Apply that more broadly. Anybody in the world who just wants you to join their company, wants you to be like them, because they don't like that the life of a Christian is a contradiction to their own behavior. You might make them feel guilty. You might make them feel bad. Oh, let's get you to be like, more like me. Like going back to that illustration, I get you to drink rum and Coke, and then whether I tell you or not, now you've drank. You can't sit there and make me feel bad about it anymore. Ha, I got you, right? Maybe somewhere down the line, if they don't bring it up immediately, maybe they're talking to you and, hey, you want to go out and have a couple of beers or whatever the language may be? No, you know I don't drink. Yeah, you do. You remember when we went out to Applebee's back in April? Well, you know, remember when I went and got you a Coke? I got you two rum and Cokes and you liked it. Yeah, you liked it. So you've drank. What's the point now? I mean, what do you do with that information? You blame them? No, you know what? You're to blame. You shouldn't trust the person in the world, especially when you know that they would like to see you fail. Or even if you don't know that, it's because you're blind. Good instruction is the preventative measure of falling for the strange woman or whatever else. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 28, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof of instruction are in the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes be not burned? Can one go on hot coals, and his feet not be burned? Okay, the point being, good instruction keeps you out of the danger of this woman who is going to entice and trap and get you to err, to keep you from following in what's likened unto a narrow pit. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Keeps you from falling into the trap. Just think of walking through a forest and a pit being over, you know, spread with branches and leaves, and as you're walking along on the trail, boom, you fall in. You're completely unaware of it. Why? Because you're da 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 da. I'm good. I'm just enjoying my trip through the woods. Well, that's the whorish woman. She's that narrow pit. She's that deep ditch. And again, that applies broadly, not just to that, not just, strange women are the danger that you're talking about. No, we're just using that as one of the points of illustration. You know, people can be convincing in many different ways. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. It's any man that, and any woman, if you think about the strange woman point, that can cause you to err, that can spoil you. You got to think on that. You got to step back and you got to say, I need to be on guard. I need to understand that there are those who will try to lead me away. And that's what that word spoil means, like carried off like a booty, somebody who's the spoils of war. It's I'm going to be carried away. By who? Somebody that's thought this through more than I have. The unfortunate reality is sometimes Christians do not want to acknowledge what the Bible teaches us about the world. You want to live in a state of denial. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 19, the inspired word of God, the words of Christ, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You break that down, the whole world, that is the complete world, meaning the inhabitants of the world, lieth. If you look at that and you think about what's that mean, it means they're set forth, they're laid up. Of what? Wickedness, that is evil. Think about that. Where are the traps? They're all through the world. Who has laid them? The nicest people you've ever met. Well, with instruction being the key to deliver you, as we see in Proverbs 5, 2, and 6 that we've already read, the problem becomes, as we were talking about in Proverbs chapter 5, when we read the context there, just to kind of remind you, looking back, this person taken away says, how I've hated instruction. My heart despised reproof. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined the ear to them that instructed me. The person who's taking into sinful actions then hates instruction. In the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, right before it's, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, verse 8. Verse 7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you combine everything, being drawn away makes you act foolish. If you go down further in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 31, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you, because I've called and you refuse. I stretch out my hand and no man regarded. You've said it not all my counsels. Would none of my reproof. Listen to the Lord here. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is the wisdom of the Lord talking. He says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. This is the heartbreaking reality that I have witnessed way too many times. People get in love with sin and they don't want to hear the truth. They walk away from it. They convince themselves. They argue within and convince themselves that they're not listening to a man when they're really rejecting the word of God. They make up these things in their head to strengthen themselves in their sinful ways. And they despise instruction. They don't want to hear it anymore. Oftentimes, it's to turn and hate the messenger. But in reality, they hate the message. Truth is truth no matter who speaks it. When somebody's providing book, chapter, and verse accurate to the context, applicable to your life, it's the truth, even if that person is the devil. It's not the speaker that's the source. It's the Lord that is. But when you turn to sin and you become foolish, Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Listen, hear me. Hear me. I'll give you something personal. My father in the flesh, I didn't live with him till I was almost 15 years old. He was with my mother when I was an infant, but they got divorced early on. He married his current wife, which was his fifth marriage. He married my mother twice. I didn't know him very well. And then I went and I lived with him. As time progressed, after obeying the gospel and learning more and more and more, I recognized his life to be one of error and his doctrine to be false. Now hear me carefully here. Even though he's a false teacher and living in an adulterous marriage, some of the things that he taught me, I still hold to this day. Not because it was from him, but because he did teach some of the truth. I didn't throw away the truth, and I'm very thankful. Eternity will tell this truth. I'm very thankful for the truths that he taught me. I'm thankful. There was a man when I first started preaching, his name was Lowell, and he was an older preacher. And the congregation, I didn't know this, and I was young. It's 1999. I didn't even understand the politics behind what went on in the situation. But to make a long story short, the congregation that I ended up laboring with at that time had forced him into stepping down from teaching because of his age. They were still supporting him. He was still a member of the congregation. And when I went there, it was presented that he would be helpful to me, that I would be able to count upon his wisdom and his knowledge. And I was very thankful for that because I was young. I understood that I did not know everything. Not that I'm saying I know everything now. But it became apparent to me after a period of time that some of his help for me was intended to destroy me rather than to help me. And that was because he wanted, to phrase this in worldly terms, his job back. And I stood in the way of that. In reality, I didn't. That was just the way that he looked at things. But to this day, there were some things that Lowell taught me that I will never, ever forget. And I am thankful for that. Even though he was erring in his motives, and some of his doctrines were false, some of the truths, they stick. Why? Because they were originally from God. What do you do when you turn to sin? You don't listen to anybody that's telling you the truth. The children of Israel, listen to this, Isaiah 39 through 11. They said, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say the seer, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get ye out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That's the way the sinner is. And maybe they won't word it that way, but that's what their actions indicate. Do you know they hated Jesus? You want to know, John 3:19 through 21 gives us this information. Says, this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. I had to learn this. You read words. I was familiar with John 3:19 through 21 many, many, many years ago, but it took me some years to think about it in the application of this. Beginning when I first started teaching the Word of God, before I even started working with a local congregation, I went to the city of Zanesville, Ohio, and my wife and I, we went and we talked to this group of people about coming there to work, and it was a similar situation. There was an older preacher there, and he willfully was stepping down because of the mental capacity he no longer had. And it was going to be a good Paul to Timothy situation. And I actually knew the guy and thought that he was sound. Well, when I got there and I started teaching, this was just on one Sunday, found out within that one Sunday that there were multiple people in that congregation that were in scriptural marriages. In fact, several of them had committed adultery with other members' wives and then turned and swapped wives. It was unbelievable. I was naive. I never thought that such a thing would be done among God's people. Again, I was naive. Well, this was one of my first encounters among people that professed to be Christians, where I told them the truth. And it was behind closed doors that I was talking to some of these people, and my wife could hear it out in the next room. They were hollering and screaming. They were so mad. Now, at that time, I couldn't understand why they were mad at me. I was just telling them the scriptures. Why are you mad at me? Well, look, why were they mad at Jesus? Because they love darkness rather than light. That's why. That's what happens. If you turn to sin, you're going to hate the people that try to teach you out of it. You're going to stop listening, which means you're going to turn away from the way of life. Look, we read this earlier. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and the reproof of instruction are the way of life. We read that earlier when we read Proverbs 6, 20 through 28. We read it. You're going to stop listening and turn away from the way of life. Looking back at God's word of old, at examples, again, just thinking at this point, that gets people to a point where there is no remedy, where there's nothing that can be done. This is another very hard lesson. Like when you're reading in the New Testament and you see what could be construed as very offensive language, like Matthew 7, verse 6, in the context of hypocrites, says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you." You got to learn when you're teaching, and this is a hard lesson to learn, I can tell you from experience, that those who are turn their ears away from the truth, like we talked about in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, if you try to teach them, they're going to turn and tear you. You might think, why wouldn't they want the truth? Maybe you're that person out there that needs to hear those hard lessons. You're not going to hear those hard lessons. You're going to attack the person that's trying to give it to you. And that language, why did Jesus call them dogs and pigs? Because that's what you are when you turn away from the truth. That's what you are. As offensive as that may come across, that is what you are. When you look at those type of people, when you see what Jesus told the disciples, when they go into a city, in Matthew 10 and verse 14, he said, "Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of the house of that city, shake off the dust of your feet." He didn't say go back, try again. Nope, move on. But Lord, they're lost. You look at other language, Titus 3, 9 through 11, avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, and strive about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that such is subverted and sin is being condemned of himself. These are hard sayings. And you know what hard sayings do? Remember what we read in John 6, 60 through 66? Some people turn away from the Lord because of those hard sayings. Here's the truth behind those sayings. When people turn away, they reach a point where there's no remedy, meaning nobody and nothing can change them. And 2 Chronicles 36, 14 through 16 says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And Lord God, their father, sent to them by his messengers rising up betimes, sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy." Nothing you can do. That's why the shake the dust from your feet is there. Earlier when we were reading in Proverbs chapter 6, we talked and thought about the points in verses 20 through 28. But if you back up a little bit in that context to verses 12 through 15, it says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken, notice, without remedy. God's word's true. There's nothing anybody can do when people reach that point. They have reached the point where they're not going to listen to God's word, and they're not going to use it for what's intended to be. Think about what God's word is supposed to do. In Psalm 119, 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the question. Here's the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Then the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's it. Thy word. That's why, you know, saints, like going back to Timothy, prior to him being charged to preach the word, the previous chapter in 2 Timothy 3:14 says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the word of God. That's the instruction unto life. Now, when you look at that proverb in Proverbs chapter 5, there's a point that I really want to highlight here before we wrap up. Proverbs 5:14 says, I was almost in all evil, noticed, in the midst of the congregation and assembly. This person may be sitting among the saints. Think of people like Judas, who betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, who, according to John 12, 1 through 6, was a thief. The money that was given for the work of the Lord and the apostles, he was stealing from it. Sometimes the wicked are among the faithful. 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. We don't always know what's going on. Well, they're at every service. They speak up. They do this. They do that. 1 Corinthians 11:16 through 19 says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There were divisions in the congregation. There were heresies, which means there were different sects of brethren, divisions that existed within the local church in Corinth. And when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, there were all kinds of things going on in the congregation there that needed to be corrected, similar to when you go to the book of Revelation. 5 out of 7 churches needed to repent or their relationship with the Lord was going to be over. Look, just because somebody's showing up, speaking up, doing outward works, that's not the indicator that they're faithful. In Psalm 50, 16 and 17 says, unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? Here were people speaking God's word, but then throwing them away when it came to the application of themselves. Think of the religious leaders in the first century among the Jews in Matthew 23, 27, 28. One to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you liken the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Very clear. Saying the right things doesn't mean that they're doing the right things. Titus 1, 16, they profess that they know God, but in works that deny, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. These people sometimes sit in the assembly. Sometimes they're self-deceived. I mean, a self-deceived person, they're going to hear lessons, they're going to read scriptures, and they're not going to think it's talking about them. You know, in Galatians 6:3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What about the self-deceived? I mean, come on. What if that's you? I've been there. I've had to repent of my sins in the past. What about you? Will you honestly examine yourself? What if that self-examination then causes you to think about what's being taught to you? Here's my conclusion of this lesson. Don't turn away your ear from hearing the truth, no matter who delivers it. Psalm 19:7 through 11, and I love this psalm, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and the keeping of them is great reward." Later in Psalm 37, verse 31, "The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Ooh, you want to be faithful? Lock that word up in you. Like we've already talked about in Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Take heed according to the word. Hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Jesus said in John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words." See, that's what you're doing if you don't receive the truth. You're rejecting Jesus. Understand that. He says, "Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spoke, and the same shall judge him in that last day." And don't be like we saw in Proverbs 5, 12 through 13. Don't hate those that are teaching you the truth. And this is an undeniable fact. Like we saw with Jesus or the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. He said in Galatians 4, 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Look, the truth is being taught so that you might be saved. Obey the truth. You're not obeying your teacher. You're obeying the Lord if he or she is teaching you the truth. And when I say she, I'm not implying women evangelists or anything else, but there are examples and instructions like how the aged women are to teach the younger, Titus 2, 3 through 5. So when I say he or she, I'm not saying women evangelists or anything of that nature. Men are to be the teachers of the Word of God, but there are women that teach sisters. Whoever it is that's teaching you the truth, hear and obey the truth. That's what I got for you today. Hope you'll take it to heart. Think about how it might apply to you. And if you have never obeyed the gospel, you have nothing to fall away from, but you have plenty to run towards. The hope of eternal life is for you. Get a hold of me. I'd love to study with you and teach you what you need to do to become a child of the living God, to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be added to his body, the church, and to really have the hope of eternal life. I will teach you directly. I will not at any point in time soften the word of God to a point where it's perverted. I will not twist it. I will just tell you the truth. So come with a prepared mind that what you hear, you might not like, but it's of God and not of me. Just like this, all the other podcasts, we're always going to go to the Bible and we're going to remove the opinions of man. I thank you so much for listening. If all goes according to plan, I will be back on Tuesday as we continue our study in the book of James. Until then, thank you for listening. Goodbye.